station is powered by Simplecast UK, your one-stop streaming shop. Reliable and affordable. Fast audio streaming on dedicated Unix servers for small to medium internet radio stations. Visit our website at all the W's, simplecast.co.uk.
Temp Network provides productive and reliable temporary staff to your business. We supply temps across Kent within food production, fulfillment houses, picking and packing environments, and warehouse staff. With great value for money charge rates, error-free invoicing, and highly trained consultants. Shouldn't Temp Network be supporting your business? For more information, please contact us on 01892 531 777 or visit tempnetwork.co.uk.
The Business Bunker. Email us now, bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Paul Andrews with The Business Bunker, kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show on Tuesday, the 9th of July. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the delightfully gorgeous and very wet Jill Serkin.
I don't think you're allowed to say that on the radio.
Really?
Wet or moist.
Yeah, no, but that's because you threw water all over yourself before we went on air, didn't you?
I would beg to differ, because the guests have told me that you placed the water glass there strategically.
Really?
Yes.
So that when you swung the mic round while taking the photograph, it would knock it into your handbag.
Yeah, well, I was trying to tweet the photograph, as I do, you know, pre-show.
Pre-show. It made me laugh.
Yes.
Well, here you go. So anyway, how are you?
I'm very well. How has your week been?
It's not been too bad, since it's only Tuesday.
You had a graduation.
Oh, last week, yes, yeah. Stewie graduated from school, that's it. It's all over.
So what what are you going to do with all the school fees then?
Oh, God knows, yeah.
Take me out for lunch?
No, spend them on university next, presumably.
Oh, yeah.
But no, job done. They're all grown up now.
You must be very proud.
Yeah. They're all grown up now, so that's cool. And we had a ludicrous 18th birthday party on Friday.
How many were sick?
There was 150 there and 149 were sick, I think.
And how many in the beds?
Oh, that was funny. Every single bed in the house had somebody asleep in a pool of vomit in it.
But yeah, lovely. Yeah. I'm so glad I'm not that age.
Yeah, teenagers, huh? Mm. Anyway, enough of that. You're listening to the kentbusinessradio.co.uk, the Business Bunker Show. And we'd love to hear from you, the businesses of Kent. And you can contact us in a number of ways. You can email us at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. You can ring us on 01303 874 998. But more likely, you can tweet me at VanillaWeb. And we've already had a dozen or so tweets in. So do tweet me. If you'd like a shout out for your business, drop me a tweet. If you're planning an event or you're fundraising or your organisation is doing something special, tweet me at VanillaWeb and we'll give you a shout out on the radio. But for the moment, I think we'll start with some news, please, Jules.
Well, let's. Yes, there's a meetup which will be on Friday the 12th of July. So that's this Friday, isn't it? Mm-hmm. At 9 a.m. and it's at the Beanie in Canterbury.
Oh, I like the Beanie.
I do. I like to wear them, but I also like the Beanie in Canterbury. Kent Creative. You remember Benny?
I remember Benny
and Crossroads.
I remember Beanie hats, and I remember Benny and Crossroads, yeah. And I know that that has nothing whatsoever to do with the Beanie Gallery.
Well, Benny used to wear a beanie in Crossroads. Did he? Is what I was saying. Mm-hmm. A Kent Creative live.
Thank you, Miss Diane.
Meetup. You're going to play that awful introduction in the on the guitar next thing. Dung, yeah. Dung, 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 dung.
Yeah, exactly.
Remember Sandy? He was lovely, wasn't he? In his wheelchair. Do you remember Sandy?
Yeah, Sandy Richardson. Are we going to do the whole of the 1970s again?
Do you remember Meg? Okay, a Kent Creative live meetup is a chance to connect with Kent-based creatives and professionals, opening up work opportunities. Learn from specialists on creative and business matters, taking your practice forward. Engage in a Q&A session for active discussions, continuing the learning process. Get feedback from your peers via the full circle session, exchanging ideas. Now, the guest speakers are Kathy Rogers, and she will present on how the cooperative of professional artists making art work has grown and the skills that have been used, such as fundraising and events organisation. And Carl Jeffrey from Fellow Creative, who will discuss his experience as part of the co-working community and participatory space.
Can you not say participatory?
Participatory. I can if I've
participatory.
If I'd had some Duddeston cider, I say it much better.
Participatory.
Participatory Check the details about this event on our website, which is www.kentcreativelive.org, and it's £10 a person. Can I read out the phone number?
Yeah, go on.
Get your pen. 01795 597 576, and that's www.kentcreativelive.org.
And we can participate in that, can we?
We can.
Is it participatory?
Imagine if you were participatory.
Is it?
In Biddenden. One of those other words I can't say.
Right, cool.
You've had a tweet, Paul Andrews.
Are you going to read my tweets now?
You've had hundreds.
I know I've had hundreds. Which one are you going to read?
Well, James Gardner,
From Component Force, yeah.
Yeah, he said he wants a lovely big shout-out for Component Force in Rochester.
Yeah, they won an award at Kiba.
Did they?
They did indeed, and quite well-deserved it was as well.
And they will help you with all your plastic needs.
Absolutely, and plastic needs, I have many.
Yes, well, you're the age now, aren't you?
I am, I need lots of plastic bits.
What kind of plastic things do they make, really?
All kinds of doodads.
Such as?
Well, like...
You don't know, do
no,
you?
No, I do, I'm just about to tell you,
well,
young lady.
You paused.
I took a breath.
Which often means you're not really sure when you're going to make something up.
I'm girding my loins.
Yes.
I'm girding my loins to run off their catalogue list, which I happen to have memorised.
Have you ever seen Paul Andrews girding his loins? This is something, listener.
What was the question there?
What kind of plastic components
handles
do they make?
Handles.
For doors?
Four candles. No, four candles. Four candles.
F-O-R-K.
No, four
handles.
Candles. Yeah. And handles for wheelbarrows.
Do they?
Yeah.
I love the way you say wheelbarrows.
Yeah.
Yeah, wheelbarrows.
And four candles they make.
FSB, which is the Federation of Small Businesses, I think. South and East Kent branches have got a summer barbecue. Love the summer. Howfield Manor Hotel, 17th of July, 6:30 to 7 p.m. The event is open to all FSB members, their guests. Well, I'm not a member, but I'm happy to be a guest. And it's a great way of meeting other members of your local FSB. So that's £15 for members, non-members £20. Website is southeastkentbarbecue.eventbrite.com. You're creaking a lot in your chair today.
Sorry. Yeah.
Honestly. It's very hot in here too.
It is very hot, that's why.
You know, you're getting a bit cantankerous.
Yeah. We've had loads of tweets from the lovely Miriam McGurk, otherwise known as the Josie Maguire on Twitter.
Yes.
And she says she's bikini on, fan on, researching history of Turkish carpets. And wishes us a great show, and she said the dog is already holding Ariel on the roof.
There must be a story to that.
Yeah. So, thank you, Miriam. Enjoy.
You know, does she know we've got her husband
lurking?
That
we've captured
lurking,
her husband, and he's in lurking the studio standing behind me.
Yeah.
She probably doesn't.
I'd take a picture, but it's right in front of the window, and it'll be...
And I hate to think what you'd knock over.
Well, he'll just be, what's the word, you know, in the light. You
wet.
Won't see him. He'll just be dark. Overexposed he'll be. Chris, you'll be overexposed.
We've had a new listener tweet in as well, Ursula O'Regan, who says, have a great show today, and I'm looking forward to it. Thank you, Ursula, and welcome to the Business Wanker Show.
You've got the lovely Brant.
Yeah.
Tweeting in, saying, have a lovely, good show, Business Wanker team. We call you and me a team now.
Really?
That'll never happen, will it? Teamwork.
No, that's for sure. Louisa Felsted has also tweeted, facilitator Ken, as she's known on the Twitter, and she says, have a great show. Thank you, Louisa. And I want to do this piece of news from an exciting new thing that's happening for savers and small businesses in the Maidstone area. Inspired by the now legendary Bank of Dave, a chap called Paul Norley, who is a Maidstone-based businessman and social entrepreneur, is in the pre-launch phase of a peer-to-peer lending vehicle, and is eager to gauge demand from both potential borrowers and savers. Outlining his peer-to-peer offering, savers will earn between 4 and 6% AER, depending on the lending term and risk levels. Borrowers will pay a flat 12% per year. The surplus will be used for charitable purposes in the area local to the transaction. To register your interest or find out more, please follow him on the Twitter at NotBankOfDave. That's all one word, NotBankOfDave. On Twitter, or you can email him on Paul Norley, that's PaulNorley, Paul Norley at gmail.com. So if you want to find out more about that, do make contact with Paul. That's pre-launch at the moment, so he's still trying to gauge what the interest is in that. But that sounds like something really interesting to bring to businesses and small savers, because savings is one of those problems at the moment that we've got while the government continue to hold interest rates at almost zero.
Yes, well, I'm quite glad they are at the moment. For me.
For you.
For pensioners and people saving, it's no good, is it?
I know. Do you know savers outnumber borrowers 6-1 in the UK?
Do they?
Yeah, you'd never know it the way the government behave, would you? Anyway,
no.
Enough of that.
Is there a rant coming on?
Yeah.
Go on.
No, I'm not going to rant. Go on, you read another.
It's too hot. Business Community Breakfast. I will read out this website at the end of this. It's Growth Without Pain, A New Approach to Business. There's no pressure for Malcolm Trotter, who's the chief executive of the International Association of Bookkeepers. He is talking on the impossible subject, growing your business without pain. The Business Community Breakfast is this week, that's this Thursday, the 11th of July, at 7:30 a.m. Gillingham Golf Club. So come and hear his views, have fun and network. The BCB is community-based, so it's run by its members, for its members, and it's non-profit making. So they meet once a month, and the breakfast is £12.50 if paid in advance, or £15 on the day. So the website is www.businesscommunitybreakfast.co.uk, and that's from the lovely Ken Wheeler. Thank you for that, Ken.
Oh, thank you, Ken. I've been to some of those events, and they're really brilliant. They are really good.
They sound great.
Yep.
And £12 is nothing. £12.50, that's excellent.
Yep, breakfast is to be recommended as well.
You've sampled it, have you?
I have indeed.
Good, but was it as good as your pie this morning that you got from Kentish Pieman?
No, that was a bit heavy for breakfast, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Steak I think
and pepper pie.
But it was nice.
It was still warm. He'd only just got it out of the oven, and he rushed around here with it, and I had to eat it. It would be rude not to, really, wouldn't
it? Of course.
It?
Yeah. You tucked in, didn't you?
I
didn't
did,
take
actually.
You long.
Yeah, I woofed it. Last week, when he bought me one, I spilt it all down the front of my shirt. So this week I ate it with a teaspoon.
That's probably why you're wearing... very ladylike of you to eat it with a teaspoon.
It was very delicate.
Is that why you're wearing that sort of brown jazzy shirt today?
Yeah. So, have you seen,
have you seen what Sky have sent me?
Sky sent you a box of chocolates.
Because I am the proprietor of Channel Radio.
Yeah, why did
they
say... why did Sky send you a box of chocolates?
Because I am the proprietor of Channel Radio
really?
Now.
Okay.
Yes.
Good. Do you want
obviously
the bills?
Shows who does the most marketing for it,
do you
doesn't
want the
it?
Bills?
Paul Andrews. Well, yeah, I'll share them with you. You've seen my weekly column, haven't you?
I have, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's who does the most marketing for Channel Radio.
Is that real?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Oh, really? Okay. We've had a tweet from Sally Laker, who says she's listening to the Business Bunker. Hi, Sally. Hope you're well.
Hello, Sally.
You're still knocking out those gorgeous cakes.
Yeah, lemon drizzle.
Sally for cakes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can follow Sally at Sally4Cakes on the Twitter. And also, oh, blimey, we've got so many.
We'll just start at the top and work your way down, Paul.
No, no.
Mindfulness at work, you know.
I'd start from the bottom and work my way up.
Ah, that's what probably why you're single.
What on earth has that got to do with it?
Anyway, shall I read a tweet?
Do you know that tweet you sent yesterday?
Which one?
About causing trouble on the radio.
Yeah.
And how accidental it was.
When you listen back to that, you're going to hate me, aren't you?
No, I started off hating you. It's just going to get worse.
Would you like a chocolate from Sky?
No.
They're melting.
No. I'm going to read a tweet.
Go on, then.
Willow Tree Designs is now following us, so thank you for that. And they're listening into the show, who are another new listener, as far as I know. So welcome to Willow Tree Designs. And Sally's tweeted again. Hello from Cake Central. Busy baking and making today. It's hot, hot, hot in my kitchen. I bet it is. Yeah,
let's not go there.
Yeah.
You know what happened to Nigella? When she was...
Are you strangled.
Are you determined?
You are determined to make this show...
Yeah. Do you know why?
Take it off the air, aren't you?
Do you know why? Because I'm tomorrow, what will I be doing?
You're on holiday.
Yeah.
Manana, she's on holiday, and she's already in holiday mode, listener.
Paella.
Yeah. Yeah. She's
little carver. I'll tweet you.
A little carver.
I'll tweet you next Tuesday.
A little carver.
Yes.
The Spanish government called in the National Guard with tankers to tank in carver. Because it's their only economic success is when you're on holiday.
It's my one weakness.
Yeah. Angel Training is also listening in. Another new listener. We've got loads of new listeners this
Yes,
week,
and
really
you've got the PDSA team. Have you seen that?
Yeah. Anyway, do you know what we're going to do now?
Tunage.
And we're going to play a bit of tunage.
What are you playing on such a hot day?
A bit of Fleetwood Mac.
Oh, lovely.
Black Magic Woman.
Oh, nice.
Got a black magic woman. Got a black magic woman. Yes, I got a black magic woman. Got me so blind I can't see. But she's a black magic woman and she's trying to make a devil out of me. Don't turn your back on me, baby. Don't turn your back on me, baby. Yes, don't turn your back on me, baby. You're messing around with your tricks. Don't turn your back on me, baby, 'cause you might just break up my magic spell. Spell on me, baby. You got your spell on me, baby. Yes, you got your spell on me, baby. Turning my heart into stone. I need you so bad, magic woman. I can't leave you alone. Yes, I need you so bad.
With the Business Bunker.
Hey, welcome back to the Business Bunker Show. Me, Paul Andrews, and the lovely Jules Serkin. It's an absolute pleasure now to welcome onto the Business Bunker our first guests for today. And we've got Mr. David Shaw of 404 Team and Mr. Brian Davis of Connect IT. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Welcome to the Business Show. Why don't you kick off by telling us a little bit of background about the two of you and your businesses, and then we'll go from there. Huh?
So my name is David Shaw. The company is 404 Team, and we provide remote desktop solutions for organisations that wish to adopt agile working.
That wish to what?
Adopt agile working.
Adopt. Oh, I see what you mean.
Is it adopt a child?
Yeah, so did I. I thought, brother, that's really making the cloud pay off, isn't it? Adopt a child. Yeah, cool. So it's cloud based stuff, basically.
Absolutely.
Yeah, cool.
Hi Paul, Brian Davis from Connect IT Communications Limited. We are a business communications company, and it's really simple. With the strap line is communications made simple, taking all the jargon out of your bills.
Oh right, okay. Take all the bills out of my bills, that would be really cool, but there you go.
That tends to be where most people are to start.
Yeah, cool. Well, welcome to the Business Bunker. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. Why don't you kick off? I'm not sure who's going first. I think David's kind of going to go first. But you guys have got a big seminar coming up soon as well, haven't you?
We do, yes.
Yeah, so why don't you tell us a little bit about that, and then tell us a bit more about your input into that.
Of course. So it was Chris and myself, Chris from Connector. We had a discussion about what we're actually trying to achieve as ultimately as businesses.
Yeah.
And what we really want to do is kind of educate Kent businesses on how work has changed and how we do work has changed. And
yeah,
how,
absolutely.
Technology has had a huge impact on this. So we've teamed up with Ali Young from Ali Young Yore and also David Muggeridge from Auckland Web. And we've between the four companies, we think we've kind of got a great solution to help organisations understand the new business landscape about how, where and why work gets done. Mm. So we've got an event on Tuesday the 16th, which is next Tuesday. It's being hosted by the Kent Chamber Channel Chamber.
Yeah.
That's the one. And their website has got all the details for the event. It's called Evolve or Become Obsolete,
right,
which we appreciate is quite a hard-hitting line, but we passionately believe that new ways of working are the only way forward for businesses to understand it. So it's a very much an educational event to try and inform business owners. We want to let them know that whether they like it or not, they probably realise their companies have already changed, and technology has really impacted where and how they do work and the way their employees are already doing work. Mm. And it's really just to understand the different challenges that they face from that and how the different solutions are available to enable them to become more competitive and survive in a 24/7 always connected society.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with what you say. Quite a few kind of old style businesses will tell me quite straight faced, "Oh, I'm not involved in that, you know, it's a fad or it's all nonsense or whatever." And you look at them and you go, "No, you are involved. You just don't know."
Absolutely. Yeah. That's exactly.
Because you have no idea what people are saying about you. You don't know what's going on. But the one thing for sure is you are involved. You're just not in any kind of control.
And that's exactly what it is. We're not looking to scaremongering. We were just running. The day is very much, it's a morning. And it's very much about just explaining to you how business has changed. It's where we do work, how we do work, and how they can adopt these new ways of working to really take advantage of it. And like you say, they're already in it, whether they like it or not. Their employees are already, you know, doing things, taking corporate data places, saying things about organisations. They just have to get on board, and we're very much here to help people understand the new challenges they face.
Absolutely. I mean, from your point of view, David, what are one or two of the things that you see are the most profound changes that have affected most businesses?
Oh, it's without a shadow of a doubt, it's two things. It's the smartphone, which has actually revolutionised business. We've now got huge amounts of computing power in our pockets.
Yeah.
And the other thing is connectivity.
Yeah.
You know, it's the sort of things we've been talking about. I know you've got an IT background, Paul. Mm. Cloud computing is not anything particularly new, but now we've got the connectivity available to us. You know,
yeah.
I mean, obviously with 3G networks rife and 4G is only going to make things even faster than people's local broadband. Business is ultimately going to change hugely as a result of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you look at the rise of technology, and as you say, the smartphone and the tablet, that's had a profound effect on IT as well.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, we're moving away from the desktop more and more and more into handheld devices. I saw some really bizarre statistics a while back that said in the United States, obviously where things happen first, but in the United States, more than 70% of under 35s have watched an entire film on their phone in the last month.
I very much believe that.
And you just think, wow, that has profound implications for everything and for a number of different industries as well. And it also has opportunities.
And that's exactly the case. Yeah. It very much has lots of opportunities. And the word you used there was it's on demand. And we now it is an on-demand world, not only as consumers, as suppliers and as providers. Everyone wants things instantly now. You know, things are not going to get any slower. They're only going to get quicker. Mm. People want instant answers. It's not like the back in the day with the fax machine, you know, when people are, you know, even that was a game changer then. So imagine how with computing power in your pocket and, you know, all this huge connectivity, of how that's going to change the way we do business, in particular where and how we do business.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. So are you aiming at this seminar, anyone in particular?
Yes.
Go on.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we're aiming at small business owners. So anyone that's out there that's in Kent that's a small business owner that's thinking, okay, I'm aware that, okay, things are changing, technology is impacting the way we work, and they really want to understand how they can take advantage of that, how they can get a competitive edge against their competitors and actually move into this new on-demand world. We're not talking about the idea of, you know, everyone only working from home and only working on these smartphones and tablets. It's very much a choice thing, and this is where, Brian, you come in really, really well in that, and understanding how the connectivity side of it, but also these devices that we're using, these mobile devices, have got a huge impact there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We'll come to Brian in a second to talk about more of that connectivity. I'm going to tell you a silly story from a thousand years ago when I was working in IT in a city, and Noah was busily building an ark. we were building the first connectivity networks, and I had a boss that wanted me to connect a ZX81 to our corporate network, which was a bit of a laugh. For those of you that won't remember, a ZX81 was a home computer that probably had the computing power of your average watch now. Okay, let's turn to Brian for a moment. We'll come back to David in a moment. Brian Davis of Connect IT. Brian, welcome to the Business Bunker.
Thank you.
Absolute pleasure to have you on the show. If you'd like to, you know, kind of carry on from what David was saying there about the connectivity issues, yeah, and give us some insights into that.
Well, things have changed so much. People will probably remember when they first tried to use something with VoIP or voice over IP, and Skype for those that have used it when they communicate around the world. That was very much a new technology, and a lot of businesses jumped onto the idea of having a go and trying this new idea with one line coming in and 10 concurring calls, everyone being on the phone. But the connectivity wasn't there a lot of the time.
Right.
The speed of the broadband, and we were talking before the show about bandwidth and things for the show, and how much you actually use yourself.
Yeah.
Now, the way the technology's moved on, we can now bond lines together, so you can have a much more residual connectivity, allowing these remote desktops that we're talking about, or phone systems that work over the internet, or just to be able to actually send and receive your emails without having to go and make a cup of tea or coffee. I mean, I'm sure a lot of you can remember you open a web page and you walked away and come back and it eventually opens. So, and business needs the speeds of the connectivity, and traditionally people think it's the download, but in business it's the upload speed as well. It's very important.
Absolutely.
How quick can we get rid of this?
No, absolutely. And it's an issue, especially in this country, that's set to run and run and run as well, because we do have broadband availability issues and stuff like that. And with more and more stuff going towards online, including ourselves with radio and things like that, moving online, and TV and film, and everything is going online, everything. And in fact, part of the government's plan originally was to abandon FM broadcasts from radio. They were supposed to have been switched off in 2012. Unfortunately, being politicians, they chose completely the wrong technology. They chose DAB, and not only did they choose DAB, they chose the wrong type of DAB, so that didn't work. So they kind of abandoned that plan. But you're absolutely right. Connectivity is everything. So, you know, what are the kind of things that we need to start looking out for then, Brian? You know, where do we need to go with this to build an integrated system, as it were?
Well, as David was saying earlier, we're looking at how businesses evolved. And we refer to it as something like the third space, effectively. So you've got your desk at work, you've got the conference room, and then you're actually out and about with your smartphone or your tablet. And it's the ability to actually have almost like your office in a box.
Yep.
The security aspect, that your data is not being moved around, it's actually in a central location.
But mostly with the CIA in Langley, apparently.
Well, yeah.
Sorry about that.
But the idea is that now the control is now very much with the business owner. They can actually allow their employees to have this data at their fingertips. So if they're out getting themselves a sandwich, they can still have a look. If someone comes in, they've got the information.
Yeah.
However, they don't have to use it. It's the ability to actually evolve and move with the times. We all want information instantly.
Absolutely. And as you alluded to, that's had a profound effect on everything, because you can't not be at work anymore. No matter how hard you try, you can't not be at work. You know, people say, oh, I get home and I turn my phone off. No, they don't.
Yeah,
they don't. We never do. Our phone is there. I mean, my phone pings all through the night as well, because I'm so sad, I just leave it switched on. And about 3 a.m, I think, oh, someone tweeted me. I have got a friend, but it's normally spam. But,
yeah,
you know,
it's usually some odd person.
Yeah, from Russia.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey, whatever. Needs must. But you're right, you know, but it has a profound effect on everything we do. because, you know, work is now something that doesn't take place in that old space of 9 to 5. It's something that happens 24/7.
Except it could be a problem because people often email me and they sort of expect me to be at my desk all the time, and yeah. I do have a life. And just for the show this morning, somebody emailed me, one of my guests said, where am I coming again? And it was last night about 7 o'clock. Luckily, I checked. But that is, it is a problem sometimes. What do you think about that?
That again is a choice thing, though, isn't it? Though, as I say, you can actually, you've got the choice to respond. You don't actually have to respond at 7:30 at night.
But if I hadn't checked my emails at 7:30 at night.
But if you didn't have the ability to check your emails on your phone, for example, and you're reliant on the office. I was talking with David earlier. It's quite often is the case in business where someone you might be chasing an invoice or something like that. I haven't received the invoice. It's the connectivity. If you've got the ability to do it from where you're standing, and we're not talking that everybody has to do this, but it might be that one thing that you're waiting on, especially when you've got to start up a new business, when you're chasing your invoices, the ability just to be able to send that from where you're standing rather than go back to the office, fire up your laptop, and then try and search out that invoice.
Yeah.
It's just the way the world is evolving.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you can't undo it. You have to roll with it. You know, you have to adapt and move with what's changing. You can't, you know, so many people try to resist change, and that's futile. You know, it's King Canute stuff. It's just futile. You need to adapt to it and make it work for you in the right way, which is, I guess, what your seminar is all about.
It's what our event exactly is all about. And as Brian was saying, it's very much a choice thing. As an organisation, you might not want your employees working, you know, past the 9 till 5 and so on. And it's all about having the ability to do so. It's making sure, I mean, your competitors possibly will. They could possibly might be working, you know, extended hours. And it is very much, you've got to take a lot of responsibility about what hours you do and so on. Yeah. But it's what we're actually doing is enabling business to have that choice and to the ability to do so. And Ali will come onto this later on, but because if you don't as an organisation, I promise you they probably already are doing something about it. Employees are probably, you know, finding ways of getting bits and pieces of work home to continue doing those pieces, corporate data sitting on personal devices. And so again, this is not meant to be scaremongering. We're very much about the four of us here. We've got David, who's going to be there at the event from Auckland, where we'll be talking about the accounting benefits of this and how the financial side of these things. Ali's going to be talking very shortly about how this actually impacts from a legal perspective, and again, the fact that this is stuff that's already happening, and the organisations just need to be aware of in order to work in this, as we say, an on-demand society that, whether we like it or not, we're living in it.
Absolutely, yeah, you're absolutely right. You can't ignore it. You can't get away from it. You have to positively adapt to it and build the strategies that make it work for you. You know, that's the whole point of it, isn't it? That, you know, I always remember many years ago when information technology first started to become mainstream, and you got all these Tomorrow's World type programs that went, you know, in 20 years time nobody will ever go to work, you know, everything will be done by a robot, and there won't be any employment, and everybody was going, oh, we're all going to get fired and been replaced by machines. And of course it hasn't evolved like that. What happens is it creates new opportunities, new ways of doing business, new ways of doing things that, you know, just move the world on. Personally, you know, even though I'm old and decrepit, I think it's really exciting times with what's going on and the kind of things that you can do and the new businesses and the new way of doing businesses that you can make. I mean, we were talking recently an event that we had, an event that we do called Create at Fruitworks, and we had people there talking about the whole sales environment, and that is an industry that has changed radically, absolutely radically. You know, the old telesales stuff, if you get a telesales call now, everybody clusters around and goes, listen to this, it's a stegosaurus on the phone. You don't do business like that anymore. That's ridiculous. Yeah, you know, social media and the impact of technology on sales and customer relationships and building sales relationships has radically changed in the space of like 8 years.
And it's only going to keep changing.
Cool.
So we're really hoping that, you know, business owners that are out there today that are listening to us thinking, I just want to understand what this new business landscape is. We use a term that, you know, work's no longer a place, it's something we do. Any business owners that are out there really just want to get an understanding of how this is going to impact their business for the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years, and how they could take advantage of it, see this as an opportunity, and to learn how they can change the way, where and how they do business, to go to the website for the challenge chamber to come along. It's £15 for non-members and £12 for members, but we'd really love to see some people come along there just so we can educate and inform and let them understand how the business landscape has changed.
Cool. What we'll do at the end of the programme, we'll read out all the contact details, but in fact they're all on the Business Funker website already, so anybody that wants to follow up either individually with the different companies represented here can do that, because each of their individual websites are there, and also the website for the Channel Chamber is also there, and also the website for booking tickets is also there. So all those things are on the Kent Business Radio website already, but we will give them a sound check and a name check later on, and we'll also give out some Twitter handles so that you can get followed. For the moment though, David Shaw of 404 Team and Brian Davis of Connect IT, thank you for joining us in the Business Bunker. Please stay with us and enjoy the rest of the programme and the silly nuttiness that goes on from certain quarters. No names, no pack drill. For the moment, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Cool. I've got an email I want to read here. We're going to come back and talk some more about that later on to some other members of the team. But I want to do a couple of other bits first.
There's also, Paul, been a tweet from GoFacinity, Rob Parker, yeah, and Mike and yeah, Ellie, yeah, who said, listening to our guests, connectivity is key. Some of our jobs are up to 2TB. We can get them to our clients in other countries the same day.
Yep.
What does 2TB mean?
Well, terabytes, I presume. Yeah.
Terabytes. Ah, right, yeah, okay.
They're like tortoises, only... No.
Pterodactyls.
I know, that'd be a terrapin, wouldn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. No, pterodactyl, I knew what you were going to say.
Yeah. Okay.
But thanks for that, Rob, Ellie and Mike in Canterbury.
On a completely different note, I've had a tweet from Adrian Kearney of AK Pet Services, the pet taxi service.
Hi, Adrian.
And he says the PDSA in Gillingham have an open day on the 24th of July from 11:30 to 4:30. Come and see the hospital, all the staff and me. So if you want to find out about that, follow Adrian, and his Twitter handle is AK Pet Services on the Twitter.
He might have his whistling parrot.
He might do. Samson.
Yeah.
Samson the wolf whistling parrot.
Yeah. I think Lisa Marie might be there, or Telcare. Anyway, someone from Telcare might be there.
What's sitting on his shoulder?
Whistling.
Whistling?
No. Oh. At the Gillingham Open Day.
Oh, the PDSA Open Day on the 24th of July.
Not on his shoulder.
Not whistling on his shoulder.
No.
Come on, Lisa, get a grip.
Honestly, what were you going to read anyway before I interrupted you with a tweet?
Upfield Community Technical. I was going to read it, but then my teeth fell out.
Yeah.
Upfield Community Technology College tops the table in Young Business Minds competition. That's easier said than read, isn't it? A team from Upfield Community Technical College has won this year's Young Business Minds competition. Now in its third year, the annual inter-college competition for 12-year students, for Year 12 students, organised and developed by the Marketing Eye in Upfield, was won by a team called Tavolo. The winning team consisted of Isabel Wilson, Zoe Wemban, Ben Sumpter and James Brock, and they produced a business plan for circular-shaped desks aimed at professional graphic textile designers or architects. With an innovative round shape, the desk provides the ability to include different elements, including, for instance, a light box, a drawing area and computer space, allowing the user to have all the equipment they need to hand in one accessible space. The team in second place was Aqua Cleanse from Uplands Community College in Woodhurst, which presented a business plan for an electric toothbrush with a round ball of bristles, allowing users to clean all areas of their mouth at the same time.
My goodness.
That will be good. In third place was a team from Heathfield Community College with First Jobs, a recruitment company aimed at teenagers looking to find their first job. And in fourth place was Bella's Ice Cream from Upfield Community Technology College, an idea for an ice cream parlour using locally sourced product and a range of toppings.
That sounds nice.
The Tavolo winning team won a cash prize of £150, which was donated by Upfield-based Scientifica. Oh, that's Adrian's company, isn't
yeah,
it? Adrian was on a year or so ago.
Yeah.
And they won a trophy. The runners-up won £50, which was donated by Rickson K and Simmons Gainsford. The event this year was also supported by Specsavers in Upfield, which kindly sponsored the trophies. So well done to all of those guys for winning the Business Minds competition.
Well done.
And talking of such, I'm spending all day tomorrow at Bethany School.
Really?
Yes. We have an event there for young entrepreneurs, which is happening all day. It's a Dragon's Den type event. and I'm really looking forward to that. Myself and Oliver Musto Playfair are there.
Oh, right. So what's the age group there that you're teaching?
I think they're mostly 16 to 18, I think.
Brilliant.
Yeah. So, good stuff.
How is Oliver Musto Playfair?
He's very well, thank you.
So he's obviously got bored now and he wants to start something else up.
No, he smashed his Lambo up, didn't he? So
he
can't go anywhere. Yeah.
Did he wrap it around a lamppost?
He did indeed.
Oh, dear.
That'll teach him.
Boys.
That'll learn him.
Boys.
Yeah. He's bored with it now. He's going to buy a new one. Right.
Who tweeteth?
Angel Training. Angel Training, Kent's award-winning first aid training provider, is listening for the first time today. Well, welcome.
Hello.
Angel Training. Thank you for listening in. And they've given me a website, which is angeltraining.org.uk.
I wonder where they're based.
I don't know, but I'm sure if you click on their website, you can quickly find out.
They might tweet us.
They might tweet that information later on. They may indeed. The PDSA have just reinforced what Adrian was saying, and they have tweeted me. PDSA Gillingham have an open day on the 24th of July, 11:30 till 4:30, so come along and see the hospital. Mm. So, cool. So, do that. Right, have you got another email there?
I've got lots. Here, but just wanted to say that the Pilgrims Hospice tweet up, it's a pop-up that they have, is July the 17th at the Anne Robertson Centre in Canterbury, showcasing the business rooms that they have there for that you can use if you have a business for a conference or any other meeting rooms that you need. So that's the 17th, and also we have the Hotel Continental in Whitstable, which is the 18th. That's always the third Thursday of the month, and that's 10 to 12. And we have the Lenley's tweet up in Roper Road with free parking. That's the 25th, the last Thursday of the month, 10 to 12 in the Terrazzo. You can see all of those events on www.kentbusinesstweetup.co.uk.
Two or three things coming out of that. First of all, you mentioned Lenley's, and I've just had a tweet from Lenley's.
Have you?
Yeah. That'll be Lenley's Roper Road, Canterbury.
Yeah, with free parking.
With free parking.
And a Terrazzo restaurant that does a very nice confit of duck.
Well, it's funny you should mention that, because I was going to mention confit of duck in another life.
But I do love a duck.
I've heard. Let me just do this Lenley's tweet.
Go on, then.
Because quite cheekily, they've tweeted me saying, we're looking for a furniture sales consultant.
Do they know that you run Jobs in Kent?
So I would suggest, Lenley's, that you put that on the lovely jobsinkent.com if you want to source that. Would that be Dennis Brophy, head of beds, looking for that?
Yeah, possibly. It might be Jonathan Watts, the MD.
Oh, well, Dennis or Jonathan, whoever it is, you can put it on Jobs in Kent. But they've got a vacancy at Lenley's.
Their PR will have to tell them, won't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
She'll have to tell them.
But talking about that, they do a lovely confit of duck in their restaurant, don't they?
They do.
And funnily enough, in the post the other day, I got a tin of confit of duck.
Oh, so did I.
From a lovely company called the Crispy Duck Company.
Yes.
And I was absolutely knocked out by it. It was not because it fell on me. But
wasn't it beautifully presented?
It was fantastically
lovely
presented.
Box.
And there was a lovely box. And mine had a little memory stick in it with a video on it of what it was all about.
And you can wear the memory stick round your neck. It's
you
on a
can
chain.
Indeed, yeah. It was on a medallion chain.
Yeah.
And I've got it here, but it got tangled up in my chest hair.
In your chest hair. Evolve before become obsolete.
Which has grown back since last year, actually. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, since you had it waxed.
Yeah.
At rehab.
Exactly. I saw the pictures for that the other day. Anyway, that's completely different. Anyway, the Crispy Duck Company, I want to tell you about
that. Of
course
you saw them. They're on your website.
Oh, that's where I saw them.
Yeah, I've saw them. I was looking at
they're on my Facebook page.
I was looking at it the other day, and there was all those ones I put on of you being Superman.
Yeah.
Which I find quite amusing. I was chuckling even then, a year on.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Can I finish what I was saying?
Carry on.
All right, thank you.
It was those medallions on your nipples, though, that I found a bit...
They weren't medallions.
What were they?
They were stickers. They were nipple stickers.
You loved it. You were actually in the window. He was actually in the window, listener.
In Whitstable High Street.
Whitstable High Street. It reminded me, have you seen the film Chocolat, when the priest goes off the rails?
Yeah, I have seen it. Yeah.
It did remind me of that.
What's her face? What's
Juliette Binoche.
That's the girl.
Well, you said I looked like... Gorgeous. I looked nothing like her at all.
No, I know, but I was just being nice to you.
Yeah, because you'd called me a gypsy.
Yeah.
That, and exactly. Then you backpedalled.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't.
You did a bit of old flannel. You're good at flannel. Anyway.
What was I saying? I was talking about the Crispy Duck Company.
Lenley's.
No, the Lenley's did confit of duck, and Crispy Duck Company sent me some crispy duck.
With a jus.
Yeah, yeah. So I've invited him on the show in a couple of weeks' time to tell us more about it, because it's a really interesting concept.
Have you opened your tin yet?
I haven't, no.
I haven't. I'm waiting.
I keep sitting there thinking, I really want to try this, but then if I open it, I've got to eat the lot.
Yeah, but you've got to get the pancakes and all that, you see. So what I'm doing is, because, you know, I'm gluten-free, so I'm going to get a little gluten-free pancake recipe. And I thought I'd invite you round. You could bring your own tin. That would be good, wouldn't it?
You're just trying to blag some of my duck.
Yeah.
That's all you're trying to do. I'm not stupid, Jules.
I'll do the pancakes.
And you'll eat my duck.
No, you bring your own tin. We'll have a can each. That'd be nice. On the slopes, we can have it.
On the Tankerton Slopes.
Have you bought that house yet?
No.
Peggotty House?
No, I'm
not.
It'd
be lovely.
It's next door to you. Why would I want to live next
door
to you?
Next door but five.
Yeah, that's too close.
Near enough to share a duck.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, enough of that.
Anyway, well done, Len Niz. I hope you find your consultant. If not, you'll have to go on jobs in Kent.
Yeah, absolutely.
What was he looking for? Head of beds? No,
he's looking for furniture sales consultants.
Right, okay.
Cool. We've also had a tweet from Tunbridge Farmers Market.
Hello. Because they've got this Sunday is Tunbridge Farmers Market.
Yeah.
Take your gran, take your mum, take all your family, go and have a little meal there. Lovely.
Mm.
Spend all day there.
Well, they were also saying about the thing I read out right at the top of the show about the Bank of Dave. And it was saying for those people that don't know about the Bank of Dave, you can still see the original TV programme about it on 4OD, you know, Channel 4. And he says the book's even better about the Bank of Dave. So, yeah, check that out. It's interesting. There's lots of interesting things happening now. It's one of the things that I love about a free market. It always finds a way to overcome a problem. And that's what so many people don't realise, that it's very fluid. And because the world of banking has crashed and collapsed and the politicians have stuck their oar in and everything's gone wrong, what's starting to happen now are people are finding innovative ways around things, crowdsourcing things.
Yeah, crowdsourcing is amazing.
Peer-to-peer lending. All kinds of things are happening. I've heard some loads of innovative things. And obviously you have to be careful and you have to be very wary about what you're letting yourself in for with things like this, because, you know, you have to look at the legal aspects of it. But there are very innovative things to get around the fact that businesses can't borrow money from banks any longer.
Exactly.
And other stuff. Do you know what we're going to do now, though?
Tunage.
We're going to play a bit more tunage, and then we're going to speak to our next guests. Do you know what we're going to play?
Something hot?
No, something cool for cats.
Oh, lovely.
The Indians send signals from the rocks above the pass. The cowboys take position in the bushes and the grass. The spore is with the corporal, she is tied against a tree. She doesn't mind the language, it's the beating she don't need. She lets loose all the horses when the corporal is asleep. And he wakes to find the fire's dead and arrows in his axe. And Davy Crockett rides around and says it's cool for cats, it's cool for cats. The Sweeney's doing 90 cause they've got nowhere to go. They get a gang of villains in a shed up at Heathrow. They're counting out the fivers when the handcuffs lock again. In and out of one swoop with the numbers on their names. It's funny how the missus always looks a bleeding sane. And meanwhile at the station there's a couple of likely lads who swear like as your father, and they're very cool for cats, they're cool for cats. To change the mood a little, I've been posing down the pub. I'm seeing my reflection, I'm looking slightly rough. I fancy that I wanna be so fresh. I'll give a little muscle and I'll spend a little cash. But all I get is bitter and a nasty little rash. And by the time I'm sober, I've forgotten what I've had. And everybody tells me that it's cool to be a cat, cool for cats. To the wall. I kiss her for the first time and then I take her home. I'm invited in for coffee and I give the dog a bone. She likes to go to discos but she's never on her own. I said I'll see you later and I give her some old chat. But it's not like that on the TV. When it's cool for cats, it's cool for cats.
Network provides reliable temporary staff to your business. Shouldn't Temp Network be supporting your business? Please contact us on 01892 531 777 or visit tempnetwork.co.uk.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Hey, welcome back to the Business Bunker Show with me, Paul Andrews, and the absolutely lovely Jules Serkin. That was a bit of squeeze there.
That was a good one for the PDSA, wasn't it?
It was. It's amazing how this show comes together.
It's
top producing, isn't it?
Exactly.
Don't you think?
Sit up all night.
Don't you think? It's top producing.
I don't know how you do it, Mr. Andrews.
Nah, and I'm here until midnight tonight, so you just all keep listening. It's all happening. Anyway, listen, it's an absolute pleasure to welcome our next set of guests onto the Business Bunker Show, who are involved in the same seminar groups as our previous two guests, but from a completely different perspective in one case, at least. So it's an absolute pleasure to welcome Ali Young of Keystone Law to the Business Bunker and Mr. Chris Pollard of Connect IT. Hello, guys.
Hello.
It's lovely to see you. If you swing that...
Am I too loud?
No, you're
no,
perfect, but
you
just need to swing it round a bit to Ali.
You could never be too loud.
That's it. That's perfect.
Another glass.
That's brilliant. Yeah, no, that's brilliant. So, welcome to the Business Bunker Show.
Thank you.
Ali, to start with. Ali, you're a lawyer.
And, yeah, don't hold it against me.
No, well, we had an estate agent last week as well.
We're
going for a full set. We've got a great white shark.
We've
got a great white shark and a banker, and then we've got a complete set. Yeah, no, sorry.
Need an
really
undertaker
rude.
Next as well.
Yeah,
probably.
Anyway, look, welcome to the Business Bunker Show. Thank you so much for joining us on the show.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
You're kind of involved with these guys in this seminar about new technology and its impact on the world of work and business. Why don't you, first of all, though, tell us a little bit about you and about your business and your background, and then tell us some of what you're going to be looking at in the seminar.
Well, I'll do it ever so quickly because I get boring if I talk about myself too much. But
But we don't.
We want the inside gossip here, Ali. Come on.
Well, you've mentioned I'm a lawyer, which you've been kind enough not to hold against me and let me come in and talk to you, which is lovely. But I'm a lawyer with an unusual background in that I worked inside businesses for 10 or 12 years before going back into private practice 4 years ago. And I feel like I've turned back to the dark side again, really, because having been a client of legal services, I'm now back on the other side of delivering legal services. So I do it with a bit of a certain way about me, which I think means I feel a lot of empathy for my clients. So the reason that I found myself drawn towards 404 and Connect IT is because of this more open approach, I would say, that it's important to me, I think, to get rid of some of the myths and the scaremongering and the fear factor that people have around the legal side of anything.
Can I just tell you a silly story?
Yeah,
and I'm going to name check them as well because they deserve it. But I did email them and tell them as well. I went to collect something from Marks and Spencer's, that's Marks and Spencer's, folks, the other day that I'd pre-ordered. And when I got there, the girl behind the counter said, "What's your email address?" And now I ordered it from my work email address. So I told her, and she said, "Postcode." So I said, "Which one?" And she said, "I can't tell you." I said, "What?" She said, "I can't tell you. Data Protection Act." I went, "Don't be ridiculous." I said, "Of course you can tell me. It's got nothing to do with the Data Protection Act. Which postcode do you want? I can't tell you." And what she'd done is she confused herself. She thought I didn't know my postcode.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, do you want my work postcode, my home postcode, or where I was when I ordered it? But she got really adamant that she couldn't tell me and she wouldn't give me the package.
Yes, but were you being curmudgeonly?
I did get curmudgeonly eventually.
I mean, I have dealt with you for 3.5 years.
Listen, young lady, let me tell you about a Data Protection Act. But
well, and in defence of her, she's probably got a list somewhere and she hadn't been able to tick the right box, so that's often what happens.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, I just thought it would be funny. They did put it right though, bless them.
But having said that, I'm not going to scaremonger. I am going to scaremonger a little bit, if that's okay.
Yeah, of course.
Because I am the lawyer in the room, so that's my job.
Yes.
So the reason that anyone that's listening to this and thinking, should I go along or not go along, and I'm going to talk in a little while as well about all the great benefits of remote working or mobile working or agile working, whatever you want to call it. I do want to warn people about something, because that's also what I'm passionate about doing, is warning people about risks that I see to them and their business, and making sure that they avoid them. Because I can roll in like Superman with my pants over my trousers later and try and sort messes out.
We much prefer your dress.
I'll pay good money to see that, to
would
be
you?
Honest. Yeah. But anyway, back to this. Yeah.
I could earn more money doing that, perhaps. But, really, I mean, you know, wholeheartedly, that there are things that will be happening in your businesses already, which may bring risk into your business through mobile working and technology interfering with your systems and interfering with your information. And that's your value. That's very important to business owners, to look after their value and their staff. And those two things are bound up with technology.
Absolutely.
So it will be already affecting what you're doing. Mm. And if your business matters to you and if your value matters to you, which I'm sure it does, you need to, like you've said all along, really, you need to be on this train. You might not want to go all the way and you might not completely embrace it yet, but you can't ignore it, because if you do, then you're putting your business at risk.
Absolutely. I'm not entirely sure if you're an employment lawyer as well, but there must be a huge amount of potential things to look at in employment law as well.
With
this change in working.
Again, to caveat, because lawyers have to caveat everything, don't they, before they say anything. But
just to prove they know Latin.
Yeah, exactly. As having said, I wouldn't use lingo. I've done it already. There we go. I am, because I was in-house for so many years, I'm probably what you would call a generalist, so you probably turn your nose up at that. But the benefit of that, from my point of view, is I know a little bit about everything.
Sure.
And I have an armoury of specialists that help me with the really clever stuff.
Yeah.
I can help any business look at all the risks. But you're right, employment law is an area which you do have to be careful about. You have a duty of care to your employees. If you are going to want to look at remote working, then you have to think about how that works for those employees, what the practical implications are. Mm. I suppose that's one of the more sort of nicer sides. The bit that I'm still really going to just hammer home one more time is the fact that your data, if it's moving around between devices and from PC to PC or on memory sticks, like you've talked about with the one you've got with your confy of duck, that is a really huge risk to your business, both in terms of commercial risk, but also from the Data Protection Act, which, albeit people have taken that act and not looked at it that seriously in the past, there have been fines recently from the Data Protection Commissioner, the Information Commissioner, as they're called now, quite significant sums. So, and that's to completely not for a minute even think of the reputational harm that you would do if you lose your data.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or your customers' information gets moved around, or you lose a key employee who very quickly snaffles all your important stuff.
You do an MOD really job and leave your laptop on the train.
So Brian was talking before about, before we came in, about the things that Brian's telecommunications company can do. And I had a client that 2 weeks ago had exactly this situation, where a mobile phone would not be returned, the employee wouldn't return it. Now, had we been on Brian's system, we just told Brian and he switches the whole thing off, and that employee would not have been able to access any of the data on that phone. That would have been related to key customers, clients, and all
So that's interesting. That's something worth exploring.
An enormous benefit, I would suggest.
Absolutely,
But yeah,
can you blow it up as well? No. Sorry,
He'd find a way.
Sorry to interrupt, Ali.
No, that's okay. No, it's fine. I'll lose my thread. So I've talked about compliance, which is sort of, you know, it's my job to go around, look for risk and try and avoid risk for you. And definitely, I think that's an area that you really need to think about. And the systems that are on offer through these companies, they're not the only companies. They won't mind if I say that, I'm sure. But so I'm not advocating just to be a lawyer again. But the theory and the systems that exist through these companies will definitely serve you in good stead for making sure that you tick all the boxes that you need to tick for all the compliance parts that you have to look at.
Sure.
So, and then moving on, if you look from the employee side, again, if you want to add value to your organisation, keeping key talent is something that certainly my industry suffers from enormously. My industry is a very traditional industry that doesn't have a very open mind when it comes to... I have worked in some companies where it's present, but in many it's not. And my profession is not the only one that thinks like that, but...
It's one of the best, though. It's a little cracker, isn't it, though,
certainly,
really?
But you lose key talent if you're not flexible and open-minded, and technology is one of the ways of making sure that you retain that talent.
So. I mean, just as a matter of interest, and I could be talking complete nonsense here, not for the first time, but it would strike me, with the new paradigm that we're in, that there's probably an awful lot of law that hasn't been tested as well.
Absolutely. Mm. And again, all the cases that we had last year over social media and defamation.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
what
fascinates me is how inadequate, actually, in many cases, the law is at the moment to deal with the challenges that are coming out of the new technology world.
Yeah.
And it's a nightmare, actually, as a lawyer to try and keep on top of that.
Absolutely.
And therefore, that makes it hard for us to advise people. But I have to say that even in those shifting landscapes, it's not enough to just say, well, I can't give you an answer.
Yeah.
I think you have to get off the fence and say, look, I can't guarantee that this is going to completely cover you. But if you do all these things, that's a darn sight better than not doing anything at all.
Absolutely.
So if you end up in front of somebody who's criticising you for not having done something the way that they perceive you should have done it, at least if you can build some sort of argument that you looked at the legislation, that you looked at the practical impact, and that you took certain steps to reduce a risk.
Yeah, because some of it's just common sense as well, isn't it? And you know, applying old rules in a new way,
absolutely.
Basically.
Yeah. And using what is industry standard is always a reasonably safe bet.
Mm.
So if there are security systems and firewalls and levels of safety that you can put within your data systems, it's going to be incumbent upon you to do that, particularly where the cost is relatively low. If the damage is quite high and the cost of repair or the cost of risk reduction is low, then someone's going to ask you one day, why didn't you do it?
Yeah, sure.
So I think, you know, that's important to bear in mind as a business. It may initially look like you're putting a bit of investment in somewhere, but actually that investment is well spent when you think about the harm that would be caused if something did go wrong. So we'll cover all of that. I mean,
cool. That
on the seminar, we haven't talked much there about the seminar, but my role within the seminar is, once the guys have done all their wonderful stuff about the nice bit,
all the hocus pocus,
then I'm going to give them the tools that they need to make sure they've ticked all the legal boxes, and also be available to answer any practical questions that anybody has, obviously, about their own specific business, because although it's very general, obviously some of this, you know, is very much about your individual business, and I'm quite happy to sort of listen to anybody's questions on that and hopefully be able to give them some comfort and reassurance.
It's an interesting fact with SMEs on the whole, because of the perceived cost. They do have a tendency to wing things, and not have everything in place that one should have in place, or to, you know, just rely on luck to some extent. Yeah.
And there's nothing, I have to say, I mean, my in-house experience was within PLCs, whereas nowadays I work much more with owner managers. And trust me, PLCs did exactly the same.
Sure.
It was just that the levels were a bit higher, so you know, the risks were
extra noughts.
Yeah, a few noughts on the end of it. But there's nothing wrong with that attitude, and I like to work with people who are open and honest with me. So I don't mind if clients come to me and say, well, we didn't do this because, you know, it didn't seem worth it at the time, and that's perfectly understandable when you're running a business, and especially when you're, you know, a smallish business. So,
right.
But that doesn't mean you're completely sunk. I'm not going to hold a gun to your head and say, oh, well, you know, you're not going to get my help. You will. There will always be something that you can do to help yourself.
Right.
Ideally, I would love it if everybody came and looked at all these things beforehand, but back in the real world, it doesn't happen.
I'm going to ask you this question, and I realise fully that it's a horrible question, and you can just say, don't be stupid. Yeah, I'm perfectly happy with that.
I'm scared now.
Yeah, no. But is there a basic level of things that you would say, look, if you're in business as a small business, if you haven't got that and you haven't got that, then you're having a laugh.
Yeah, you certainly need to have policies written down that show that you have thought about some key areas, such as your employees and the protection that you need to give them, data and information that you're holding, and security on your technology systems. Those three things you really do need to think about.
So they're the core essentials.
Yeah, and then over and above that, if you have an inkling towards being, you know, a higher level of compliance, then you know that there's a whole other sort of series of policies that you could look at, but you don't you don't need everything. You just need a couple of things in place to show that you've thought about some of these, covering those three key areas. Right. The other thing to think about is an insurance side and value protection, not just from your data, but also equipment. We haven't really talked about that, but ownership of equipment, location of equipment, and then making sure that you're adequately insured. And that's not so much a legal issue, but you do need to look at your insurance policies.
That's a really interesting point as well, is about equipment, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Because so many people, even if as a company you provide equipment, so many people have their own gear as well, especially phones and to some extent tablets.
So your policy should deal with that, whether you want them to use it, whether you don't want them to use it, if they are going to use it, how they have to use it and who has rights over the information that goes onto that data, onto that device, if it's their own device.
So. All right, second horrible question then. And I realise this is incredibly generalistic, but in your opinion, is it better for you as a company to provide all their technology? If you can,
the more control you have, obviously, the more you're going to feel safer if you're in a situation where things have gone wrong. The less control you have, the more risk there is that you won't be able to risk manage the situation when relationships are broken down, because that's often where these situations arise, where you have an employee who's, you believe or know already, is about to leave your business, and you are concerned that they are taking away with them data that could harm your business, key clients, key customers, or commercially sensitive data. If it's their own phone, you're going to have a more of a battle, unless you've got a very, very clear policy that they've signed up to that says that the data on that phone is your data and will be wiped. But actually enforcing that is a whole other ball game. And I would always say, if you want the control, then invest in the kit, because it's easier to grab that when the times go, and invest in the one that Brian's got, which you can switch off even if you can't physically get hold of it.
Okay, that's cool.
Did that answer that question?
Yes, it does. Thank you, Ellie. Thank you. That's very well answered. We could talk about this for a long, long time.
He's going to think up another nasty question there, because you beat him.
It's absolutely fascinating, and it's an area with a lot of issues in it that need to be thought about from all kinds of points of view. I've spent a lot of time with lawyers just recently, because I've just completed the purchase of two companies, and that was interesting, to say the least. All the kind of things that can happen in acquiring a company. And we also heard last week our estate agent guest, Denise Barnes, has recently written a book about her horrendous experiences of selling her chain of estate agencies. And I just read the book at the weekend, which was fascinating.
I mean, the trouble for us is that we are trained to look for problems.
Of course.
That's what we're there to do. And I mean, I do it everywhere in my life, and then you do have to catch yourself on and just talk yourself down sometimes and say, well, look, what are the chances of that actually happening? And you have to put the control back into the answer. And that's what we were trying to do in this seminar, really, is we're not advocating necessarily one way or the other, but it's about empowering you with the tools that you need to make choices and to have control over those choices. Absolutely. And then you'll have the best of both worlds, whatever the world's, however the world ends up, whether we're all going to end up working in our garden sheds.
We're all doomed.
It's just about education and choice.
Brilliant. That's fantastic. It's a subject we could talk about forever, but for the moment, Ali Young, thank you very much indeed. Give us a quick shout for your website.
I haven't, isn't this awful? I don't have my own website because I work for Keystone Law.
But
if you look up Keystone Law, which is www.keystonelaw.co.uk, you'll find a little profile of me there, along with 100 and other odd lawyers as well. But we all work for ourselves, which is why we're all so happy.
Good. So, we come to Mr. Pollard.
Mr. Andrews, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Pollard. How are you?
I'm very well.
It's very unusual to have you in this studio, which is marginally hotter probably than where you normally are, which is stuck up a secret location somewhere.
Actually, this is quite cool in comparison.
Is it really?
It's about 40 degrees up there.
Okay. Well, this is more like...
It's 37 in here.
Presumably it's cooler on a mountain as well.
Not in the daytime, because we're nearer the sun.
Oh, really? So it's cooler, really? Because my mountain is cooler.
Which mountain is yours?
Mine is Moira.
Ah, right. Yeah. Ours is cooler at night. This time of the year, around about 9:30 at night, it starts to go down to about 25 degrees at night.
So now we finish comparing mountains.
I expect Chris's is bigger than mine. His mountain.
Up.
We won't get into size. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Men and size.
Yeah. Well, mine's tiny because I'm out here on the marsh and we haven't got any mountains. All we've got sheep. Sheep and alpacas.
Yeah, but you're buying a very big Porsche, aren't you? So it doesn't matter.
What's that got to do with
anything?
We're
talking about size and men. Cars.
Oh, for goodness sake.
That's what Chris said. He started it.
Really,
I'm just
really
concurring.
Yeah. Anyway, Chris, welcome back onto the Business Bunker Show. I know, he shakes his head in disbelief. I can only agree with him. You know, what can you do? You can't do anything. Yeah.
Here we've had a lawyer talking a lot of sense. And we get on to size. Where's that guy?
I prefer your conversation.
So, Chris, why don't you... We've not got a lot of time left, and we've got a few things to get through. So why don't you kind of finish off telling us about your angle on this thing and where we're going from there?
Right, two things. For me, I came into this sector of business very late on in life. And evolve or become obsolete is so, so important. I'm not a techie at all. But to me, the importance of keeping everything so simple, the average business person out there does not understand a lot of the technology that's around. Mm-hmm. I'm being taught, and I think, let's be frank, having reached my 60th birthday, I think it is crucial that businesses are aware, and people who are in their 50s, you need to become aware of what's going on in the business world, because your companies, if you're the head of a company, they're not going to survive. It's very easy to push things aside and ignore them and bury your head. But I would say eat that frog and deal with it. Now, I just wanted to make one suggestion and deal with one aspect. We've been talking about connectivity. Mm. And I've been amazed as I've spent more and more time in Kent over the last couple of years at the lack of infrastructure which is in place. So someone will come along and they put in an industrial estate, and then you find the broadband supply to the industrial estate is either slow or almost non-existent. Mm. Or you find that half the estate has got fibre and the other half hasn't. Mm. And one example was yesterday. We went to an estate in Parkwood. Half the estate's got fibre, but down the back end of the estate, they've got nothing. Mm. So Brian spent a year looking for a reliable supplier for satellite broadband.
Right, okay.
Now, I know a lot of techies in the past saying, it's this.
No,
and it's
I'm
that.
A big fan of satellite
but
broadband.
I look at this as a layperson. Mm. If you've got a non-existent broadband system, and you're, say, for example, you're an architect or you're a printer or a graphic designer, and you've got to send large files, we can come along and say, right, there's a guaranteed 15 to 18 down, but there's a guaranteed 5 to 6 up. Mm. And it's the up speed that you want to get out. Mm-hmm. So we did this this demo yesterday. We put it up, and he looked at the speed, and he said, well, I want to send that file to there. And he sent the file, and the file that that would have taken overnight to send went in about 30 seconds or there under. Mm. Mm. So industrial estates, rural areas, any business that has a slow broadband speed that it's buffering, you're struggling to send out large files, we have a solution for you. And this system has been used in Afghanistan and Iraq. It's used by oil exploration companies, it's used by governments around the world, and it's used by the military. It is a proven system, and the company that supplies us is the best, one of the best in the world. And finally, we've got the only qualified installer in the southeast of the UK.
Wow.
No, Martin Doyle of Concord Aerials. He's the only person who's qualified with a certificate in the southeast of the UK to install these correctly, and he has over 20 years. 20 years of experience of working with satellites, etc. So that's where we are. Evolve or become obsolete. It is crucial to become involved in today's technology, or I'm afraid you're going to get left by the wayside.
Brilliant.
Paul.
Chris, thank you so much for that. I'm sorry to rush you, but we've got very little time left and we've got a lot of things to think to finish off on.
So this seminar is on the, just remind me of the date.
July the 16th.
And it's in...
It's at the Kent...
Channel. I know I wrote about it in my column, but I can't remember.
No, that's all right.
Shall I give you all the details?
I've got all the details.
Let me give you all the
Read
details.
Read them out, Mr.
But
Andrews.
All the details are available on the Kent Business Radio website already, so you can look all of this up there. But for those that want to know, it's next Tuesday, the 16th of July, and it takes place at the Kent Channel Chamber of Commerce offices, which are in Shearway Business Park in Folkestone. That's CT19 4RH. It costs £12 for Channel Chamber members and £15 for non-members. If you'd like to find out more, you can go to the Kent Channel Chamber website, which is kentchannelchamber.co.uk, or you can email tracy.reynolds, that's T-R-A-C-Y, dot Reynolds, R-E-Y-N-O-L-D-S, at kentchannelchamber.co.uk, or you can ring them on 01303 270 022, and that's Evolve or Become Obsolete, next Tuesday, the 16th of July.
And there's one more or. You can go to the Connected Communications of Facebook. Get my teeth in. Facebook page. And you can go on there, and I posted last Friday all the information, and you can go use a link there, and you can book online.
Fantastic. Thank you for that,
can
Chris.
Can I just say one other thing? Sorry to interrupt.
No, absolutely.
We haven't spoken much about tax, and I don't like talking about tax because I'm a lawyer, but David Muggeridge is going to talk about tax.
Okay,
there are lots of tax advantages to doing this, working from home for employees.
Absolutely, Thank you for that. Yes, absolutely. David was unfortunately not able to join us today.
And what time does it start, please?
9:30.
9:30.
Finishes at 1:30.
Cool. So it's only a morning.
Ready for the business bunker.
Exactly.
That's why we don't want to miss that, did I?
That's exactly why we did it.
Unlike Jules.
Well, you could come along with your roving mic.
No, well, she won't be here.
Oh, of course. She'll be swanning
around Spain up a hot mountain with a...
Paella.
With a vat of carver and a paella.
Paella.
To all the Business Bunker listeners, colleagues and friends of the show, I'm running, or possibly walking fast, the London 10K on Sunday the 14th of July in aid of my little neighbour, Lily Brooker. Lily is 7 and has a life-limiting disease called Sanfilippo. As the disease is so rare, there is no funding in the UK for research. The USA have piloted research to enhance the quality of life for Lily and her fellow sufferers, and they need to raise £600,000 to bring it to the UK. We are over halfway there and have received word from the US that they will be starting trials in the UK in the autumn, but we still need to raise the full £600,000. Family and friends have pulled together with Lily's dad and family members. We'll all be running for Lily on Sunday. Any contribution, however small, can make a difference. So please will you visit my Just Giving page, which is www.justgiving.com/Michelle Brooker2, and follow. And could you retweet? And the Twitter is @Let's Help Lily. That's @Let's_Help_Lily. So send some love to Let's Help Lily on the Twitter, or go to the justgiving.com, Michelle Brooker 2, Just Giving website, and that's an email from Becky.
Well done, and I wish you all the best on that one.
Yeah.
Keep us posted.
Cool. Also, there's the launch of the 12:30, the Women's Company, in Folkestone today, so you missed it, because I've just read it out and it's already started. But there's another 12:30, the Women's Company networking meeting this Thursday, the 11th of July, with the summer special tour of Broome Park, which is just on the outskirts of Canterbury. And there's high tea and business networking. And you can find out about these events by going to www.1230.co.uk/events. There's also a Thanet event on Thursday, the 25th of July. The Canterbury events are regular monthly meetings on the second Thursday of each month, and the Thanet events are regular monthly meetings on the fourth Thursday of each month. But you can find out all about that by going to www.1230.co.uk, or you can email jgroundsell, G-R-O-U-N-D-S-E-L, at 1230.co.uk.
Do like a high tea, don't you?
Mm.
Manana, there's Wednesday the 10th of July at the historic dockyard at Chatham, 10 till 4, networking breakfast aboard the MHS Gannet. Please don't say anything, Paul Andrews.
I never got the words out, did I? I was just gearing up to go with that.
I just saw the eyebrows go and I knew. 3ws.manufacturingandengineeringexpo.co.uk.
Cool. I've got loads more tweets as well.
Have you?
Yeah.
Come on, read some out.
Yeah. Alex Waterton of F Keys, the Microsoft training company over in Rochester City Estate, are wishing good luck to all 17 of their candidates who are taking Microsoft exams at the F Keys Microsoft Training and Exam Centre tomorrow. So good luck to all of you guys, but you've been in good hands. F Keys are fantastic at training on Microsoft products. So good luck to the 17. We've also had Adrian from AK Pet Services, who says he's going to the Dog Trust in Canterbury tomorrow, and he's going to be taking a 92-year-old lady to pick up her new companion.
Yeah, it's a lovely story.
Bless.
I think the Whitstable Times will catch hold of that story because the little dog also is elderly. They're about the same age.
Yeah,
so
the
lovely.
Dog is called Mildred and it's 10 years old.
Yeah.
Blimey.
Which in dog years, come on, work it out.
It's 92. Yeah. I've just worked it out. It's exactly 92. They're the same age.
They're twins.
All on the same day. They're twins.
Mildred and what's the lady? We don't know
that.
No,
you didn't care about that. It's just the dog's Mildred.
Yeah.
Or maybe that's the lady. I don't know. No, the dog's name is Mildred, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's lovely, Adrian. Thank you for that. Also, Amanda Taylor of Counts Amanda has said she's going to catch up and listen in later.
Good. Probably from a little deck chair in the garden.
I would think so, yeah.
Discovery Park welcomes Wilkins Kennedy, a top 20 UK chartered accountancy and business advisory firm. Wilkins Kennedy has promoted Derek Reed to head up their new Sandwich branch, the office in Discovery Park, and Derek will continue to oversee existing clients' management accounts and audit undertakings for his diverse portfolio from the Mid Kent and West Kent areas, and that includes owner-managed businesses in the SME market. For further info on that, please visit www.wilkinskennedy.com, and there will be details of that on the Business Bunker after the show. And the UK, it became one of the top UK firms of chartered accountants and business advisors with a turnover of 30 million. Well done, guys.
Blimey.
Yeah.
Good. Have you got many emails left there?
Yeah, lots.
I've got a couple left as well.
After you or after me?
I'm going to do this one.
Go on then.
This is from the gorgeous Debbie Cameron, who's the branch manager of the Institute of Directors in Kent.
She's been up a mountain as
well. She's just been up a mountain as well.
We should have played Donovan, shouldn't we? First there is a mountain, then there is no mountain, then there is... Anyone got maracas? Come on.
Welcome to the Bunker Mountain Show on Mountain Radio.
Yeah,
so very mountain related, although this isn't about mountains because she's now down a mountain.
Okay.
But yes, she did in fact climb
she
a mountain
did.
Recently, and very well done to her and Bruce and David and all the gang that went out there and climbed the mountain in aid of people in Uganda. And this is something fairly similar. And she says, hello, fresh off the mountain and already working on my next challenge, and one that I think might interest you and some of the people out there. This is a cracker, this. I really would like to do this. I'm not sure I've got the time to do it, but I would love to do this.
You can make time.
Yeah, I would love to do this. It's the Maidstone to Monaco Banger Rally.
Wow.
Yeah. It's taking place on Tuesday, the 18th of September, 2013. Parenta Trust founder and organiser Nick Williams and Alan Presland are inviting you to join them on a four-day journey through France, Switzerland and Italy to raise enough money to build a preschool in Uganda. Okay.
Ah, lovely.
You'll need to find a roadworthy car for £350 or less. Yeah. Gather a team that will raise a combined fundraising contribution of £1,000. Choose a theme and prepare to set off on the drive of your life. The drive will involve a few extra challenges along the way, with prizes awarded to teams for a variety of achievements.
Mm-hmm.
Like getting there, I would imagine.
Yeah, changing the wheel.
Yeah. As you would expect, you will only find out about these once the drive is underway. Places are limited, and interest in the event is exceptional. So if you would like to join in or would like further details, then please get in contact with the Trust. And you can get in contact with them at their website, which is www.maidstonetomonaco.org.
What date is it?
September the 18th.
Draw a big line through your diary, Paul Andrews.
It's a Tuesday.
Now, I'll do the show for you. You know how capable I am.
Oh, she's been after my seat for a long time. Trina,
when he goes to the loo,
she's in there. I come back, she's sat in my seat. Yeah. So let me give you that again, because Jules got all excited there, thinking that she might get rid of me. I daren't go on holiday, listener. I'd never get back in. They changed the locks. It's www.maidstonetomonaco.org, and you can also register your interest online at maidstonetomonaco.org/register.
Wonder how much it costs to insure all that lot with the AA International breakdown.
Yeah, well, not a lot, because it's only a £350 car, isn't it?
Yeah, but to get them all back, tug them back.
You'd probably dump them, I would. I mean, £350 car in Monaco, I'd go, there you go.
You could just take your wheelbarrow.
Park it in the harbour next to their yachts.
Take your wheelbarrow. Say wheelbarrow.
With me four candles.
Say
me
wheelbarrow.
Rubber four candles.
Say wheelbarrow.
What's the matter with a wheelbarrow?
Yeah, see, it's great, isn't it?
I'm not commenting.
No, I wouldn't.
No.
She's horrible to me.
I
oh, here we go.
Just because I was brung up in a deprived way.
I went to a rough com, I keep telling you.
Yeah, right.
Jules, yeah. You mustn't upset the DJ.
So just to finish off on Debbie's lovely email, I hope this charity road trip is of interest, and please can I ask you to help spread the word with your friends too. My passport is packed. Now all I need to do is find a classic banger. Ah, Joffrey. Oh, no, sorry.
I saw that coming.
With thanks, Debbie. For information, please contact the Parenta Trust on 0844 504 5504, or email trust@parenta.com. And once again, the website is maidstonetomonaco.org. There's a link to that on the Kent Business Radio website. There's a tab for events, and under events there are community listings, and that website is listed there. So you can find it on the Kent Business Radio website. But that sounds like tremendous fun. I'd love to do that, to be honest.
Well, they've probably done it on a Tuesday, so you can't go.
Yeah, it's deliberate, isn't it?
They planned it.
Priced it outside my price range of cars as well. Go on, go with another email.
Kent, oh, is that why you were looking at me?
Yeah.
Kent and Victor Chamber, breakfast meetings Thursday, that's this week, the 11th of July, at the Ashford Boys Hall. And then Wednesday, the 7th of August, is the next one, which is at Maidstone Mercure Hotel. Then they have afternoon tea, 23rd of July, Gravesend Old Town Hall. Chamber members, £10 plus VAT, and that's 1:30 to 3 for your afternoon tea. And then there's a barbecue, which is Thursday, 15th of August, Canterbury Cathedral Lodge. Brilliant. And that's all Kent and Victor Chamber, so it'll be on their website and on ours.
Cool. We've just had a tweet from the Canterbury Times.
Oh, really?
They're obviously listening, because they said, oh, tell us more about Mildred the dog. So
I think it might be because I do write a column for
them. Yeah, I didn't know that. Yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah, possibly.
Yes, and I think I will send them details of Mildred the dog.
Thank you.
Because it's a lovely story, isn't it?
It is, and they want to know more. So. Yeah. And they say, tell me more, and that's Sam Inkersoll at Kent Regional News.
Oh, hello,
News
Sam.
Media.
They're probably listening in the newsroom.
Yeah, well, that's where they get all their news from.
They go to press today.
Yeah. Sam, we will certainly send you the details of that and enjoy. It's a lovely story.
Mm.
Cool. You can do one last email, and then we're going to wrap
I?
Up.
So
I
kind of. This is a really long one. Shall I whiz through it? 99 years on, Living History Groups preview next year's 100th anniversary of the outbreak of World War One. Cue Paul Andrews doing a little go on. It's now 99 years since the start of World War One, with next year being the 100th anniversary. Combined Ops 2013 brings you a preview of what you can expect to see in next year's show, where we mark this commemoration of this momentous event of the 20th century. So the website to go for this lovely event is www.heritage-events.co.uk. It'll be packed with air and ground display stands, living history, offering a wealth of entertainment for the whole family. And there will be a Lest We Forget business there with a WW World War One tank.
Cool.
Lovely. Go to that one. That sounds great. And we will put details on the Bunker website after the show, won't we, Paul Andrews?
We will indeed. But I just want to, we've got a minute or so left, so I just want to flash through some website addresses for what you've heard on the show. But you can find all of these on the Business Bunker show. We've got www.404, that's the numbers 404team.com. So you can check out those guys. You can find Ali's profile on keystonelaw.co.uk. And you can also find the guys at Connect IT by going to connectit.co.
Correct. Thank you.
But all of those are linked on the Kent Business Radio website, so you can find out all about those guys there. And also, they're going to be joined on their seminar by David Muggeridge, who's an accountant and tax specialist from Ackland & Webb. And you can find Ackland & Webb at acklandandwebb.co.uk. That's Webb with a double B.
I've got time to make a plea.
Yes. For Bertie.
Anybody that does PAT testing of equipment for home offices, I would love to know about them, because I need to do that.
Okay. If you are into PAT testing and you are qualified to do PAT testing and you'd like to help Ali, and it's certainly worthwhile, I suggest you contact me at bunker@campusradio.co.uk, and I will pass your details on Ali. Pleasure. For the moment, though, thank you to all you guys, Ali Young, Chris Pollard, Brian Davis, and David Shaw for joining us on the Business Bunker Show.
They're all looking very hot, aren't they?
It's very hot. I can't wait to put the air conditioning back on. Coming up on Channel Radio now at 3 o'clock, we have Kevin Cam with Extra Milk. That's followed by the ladies' favourite, Mr. Craig Avery, with the Craig Avery Show.
The smoothie.
Including the sporting letter from America, read by yours truly. And then at 9 o'clock, we have the fantabulous New Potato Show, which is everything that's in unsigned, new and up-and-coming music. That's from 9 to 11 with Jamie Leftarm. And if last week's show is anything to go by, it's going to be an absolute cracker, because last week's show was stonking.
Lots of lizards, apparently, last week's show. Were they badgers?
Badger biscuits.
There was a lizard as well.
There was some lizard-orientated stuff. But one of the bands...
Badger biscuits.
Yeah, and Badger and the Badger Biscuit Heads. They were absolutely stonkily brilliant. That's on at 9 o'clock tonight on channelradio.co.uk, so have a listen to that. But for the moment, thank you so much for listening to the Business Bunker Show. I've been Paul Andrews, and you've been listening to me and Jill Serkin, and we'd love to hear from you all and speak to you again next week. But in the meantime, have a fantastic week, and we will see you all soon.
Bye.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Temp Network provides productive and reliable temporary staff to your business. We supply temps across Kent within food production, fulfillment houses, picking and packing environments, and warehouse staff. With great value for money charge rates, error-free invoicing, and highly trained consultants. Shouldn't Temp Network be supporting your business? Temp Network provides reliable temporary staff to your business. Shouldn't Temp Network be supporting your business? Please contact us on 01892 531 777 or visit tempnetwork.co.uk. Come on.